Holy Spirit moves in strange and wondrous ways. I loved that at the beginning of the first reading from Proverbs, it said, "Does not wisdom call and does not understanding raise her voice?" And at that point, Okalani raised her voice. And that was so perfect because as far as, you know, our readings for today, she may have the greatest understanding of the Trinity of all. Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. I want to concentrate today on two little pieces of scripture out of Romans. And I want to concentrate on those two particular readings because so often when we think of the Trinity, especially that second person of the Trinity, we like to think about justification, salvation, all of those roles of that second person of the Trinity. And too often, justification has come to mean something that maybe I'm not sure is intended. Over time, we've, in Christian circles, come to think of justification and righteousness as being for whom? Well, for us, right? I mean, we have a whole theological system built around trying to figure out how to achieve salvation and be justified. And so we've created this interesting and intricate way of doing things that has something to do with making sure that we're saved. So I picked on Cindy Scheiner, who I never get to pick on earlier. But today I always pick on you. I won't today. Let's pick on Bruce Holmberg. I think he's a good one to do. Bruce, here's the deal. Poor Bruce has been living his whole life hoping to be righteous and full of the Lord. And so there's a kind of scale, right? So we've set up this system in which Bruce can work toward pleasing God so that he will be justified. Now, Bruce has lived a pretty good life for the most part. He's done pretty well. He's been a good giver. He's been generous to his family, all of those kinds of things. But every now and again, Bruce slips. So think of it like a balance, or maybe a tog sheet, right? So God in our system, in this system that's been built up about justification, is like a divine Santa Claus. There's the nice list and the naughty list. And so what God does in that kind of way of thinking about things, every time you do something good, you get a mark on the good side. Every time you do something bad, you do it on the bad side. But now turn it over on its side and make it a balance scale. So it's a scale now. So Bruce, for the most part, has done pretty well and has leaned fairly well to doing a good thing for the most part. But then Bruce slips. Bruce says something terrible to his pastor.
Justified.
Yeah. I didn't say it wasn't, but anyway. So suddenly the scale begins to tip in this direction, and Bruce is thinking to himself, I am sliding right down into hell if this goes any further. So Bruce has to do something good, or say something good, or be something good, so that the scale can even out. So life becomes this task of trying to even out the scales, tot things up just right. But what if that's not what justification is? What if, in fact, justification isn't for you at all? What if that's not its purpose? I'll quote my favorite theologian, David Loos. Justification is nothing less or more than the promise that God accepts you accepts you as you. One more time in English. Justification is nothing less or more than the promise that God accepts you as you are, not because of who you are or what you have done, not because of what you might become or do, not because of who you have promised to be or what you have pledged to do, but that God accepts you because that's who God is, and that's what God does. justify the ungodly in order that we might know peace and turn in love to extend that same grace and mercy and acceptance to those around us. The line from Paul is, since we are justified by faith, we have peace in God. So what if it turns out that justification is not for Bruce at all? What if a justification is so that Bruce, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the next line, what if it's that God has forgiven and loves and cares for Bruce just for exactly who he is, not in the way that he will strive to even the balance, but God loves him exactly who he is so that he may pour that same love out on his neighbor. It's a different purpose, isn't it? It's no longer about Bruce anymore, but it's about those who Bruce sees and touches and feels. It's about the world. That's a different way to think about justification. That sort of justification begins to think about the relational quality of God, to love God's people into loving for the sake of the world. No longer is the purpose of justification simply to make sure that Bruce ends up in heaven, which, by the way, I'm sure will happen. Who knows, Oy vey? Not so that Bruce will be saved, but so that Bruce can pour out God's love, mercy, grace, and acceptance on those around him. So perhaps maybe being part of that Trinitarian community is to turn outward, not inward. Maybe it is to become part of the greater community, justified by faith, so that we have peace in God. Well, how does that happen? Well, in the last phrase of our text for today, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to you. That's the work of the Spirit that pours into us and then pours out of us onto the world. But I don't want to pretend that it's easy. There's a huge market right now. In fact, if I ever wanted to actually make money at being a pastor, I would open up a retreat center. Because right now, spirituality is hot. And in the best of places, it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. But so often, what is meant by spirituality is you go into a retreat and you meditate, and there you find the Spirit comes into you and you find peace and harmony with the world. And that is one kind of spirituality. It's lovely. It's just not the only one. Because sometimes when God pours out God's Spirit into our hearts, it is tumultuous. The work of the Spirit, it seems, is not only just to bring peace and harmony and joy, all of which are lovely things, but also the pouring out of the Spirit is accompanying and goading and reminding and advocating and even driving us. It's not always comfortable. I think of poor Martin Luther on that road that day, coming back from the bar, and the storm is going on, and he's scared to death, and he promises St. Anne that if St. Anne will save him, he will become a priest. And then he doesn't die. He suffers a fate worse than death. He becomes a priest. And throughout his whole life, that goading of the Holy Spirit was anything but comfortable. It was hard. The Spirit is not always comfortable. I, as annoyed as I get with all of these travelogues that we get from some of our judicatories, our bishop showed some slides from their mission trip to Borneo, which sounded to me like it would be a lot of fun until I saw the slides. Right? And so they took this horrible ride in the back of a pickup for about, I don't know, 14 hours or something like that. And then they got down to the river and they got on these long, long canoes and rode down the river for a whole nother day. Bugs biting and all that kind of stuff. Starbucks we found anywhere nearby. And then finally they found their way to the village where they were going to be, and they spent days building a school. What's remarkable is when I look at those pictures, every bug-bitten, exhausted, sunburned one of them had an incredible smile on their face. It was not easy, but it was incredible. It wasn't comfortable, but they were justified and in peace with God. I also think of the work of our youth in New Orleans. A few years back, we had our national youth gathering of 38,000 young people, all gathering in the same city at the same time, which, by the way, if you've not ever done that, I highly recommend it. And in fact, it's coming up next year. If you'd like to be a sponsor, you can let me off the hook. It's amazing, the spirit moving through those young people. And in New Orleans, they provided 250,000 volunteer hours in 3 days. Shoveling out mud, taking out moldy drywall, painting, filthy, disgusting in their yellow t-shirts, but moved in the spirit to serve. So the spirit is not always comfortable. But you see, God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that has been given to us, and what they found is that it filled them up. The Spirit, while it may not be comfortable, certainly is filling. I'm thankful for the privilege, for the ways that I get to see the Spirit at work as well. When I sat with one of our elderly members as he died, no family, no one to come and be with him in the middle of the day. And the staff called, or his nephew called, and then the staff was so glad when I was able to be there and to sit with him and converse with him and then to hear that last breath. That is the work of the Spirit, to accompany and to pray and to stay. That Holy Spirit has been poured out into you as well. And it repeats itself over and over and over again. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace in God. And in that peace in God, we have been set free. We have been equipped by the pouring out of the Holy Spirit to be God in this place. God's for this place. It is not by accident that we refer to ourselves as the body of Christ. And we are now called to pour ourselves out for the sake of all creation. And that is the work of the Spirit in us, accompanying and goading and reminding and advocating and driving, filling, pulling us into mission together, sharing ourselves in ways that we never expected and even knew that we could do. It will not always be comfortable. It will not always be balanced. But what if our justification is not for ourselves, but instead sets us free to be God's people in the world? Truly, you are justified in Christ, and God's love has been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, and it has been given to you. Amen.